Okay, marvelous. So today we are going to do something a little bit different. I've got to be honest, I feel like every time I get up here I say something along the lines of today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. So maybe today isn't as different as I think it is going to be. But we're going to do a little bit of a practical workshop today. Oh, there's a little bit of latent enthusiasm in the room. That's very exciting. Sorry? It does not involve moving. Although, if you would like a little bit of a sugar boost, if you're finding that actually being in here has sapped your energy and you'd like a little sugar boost, look at these lovely chocolate bars up here. Who'd like one of these? Show of hands, who'd like one of these? Great. You can earn one of those today. And if you want to earn it, it's very simple. It's not embarrassing. You just have to simply come up here to this microphone. And I've got some little readings here. Little bits of Bible up here. They're all printed out very nicely. So if you want, you can take one of these beautiful bars of chocolate in exchange for a reading. So who's put their hands up? Who's going to read for me? Yeah, fewer hands, but I think I have enough. Very good. So don't leave me hanging. And all I'm going to say is everybody knows which one of these is the best. So you don't want somebody else to get that one first. So I want some nice quick responses, okay? So come up, get your favorite chocolate bar, do a reading. Happy days. Okay, so as I say, today we're going to do a little bit of a practical workshop. Hopefully this is going to be very good fun. What we're going to do is we're going to be talking about that moment in most of our gatherings here at Gloucester Vineyard Church. Most of the time there will be a pause. There will be a moment after we sing where we will invite people to kind of put their hands out like this. And we might encourage people to close their eyes. And we might gather around them. We might put hands on those people. And we might pray for those people for God to move in their lives. Now, you might see that person that we're praying for, they might cry a little bit, maybe they might shake a little bit. It's something that we do around here all the time. It's quite normal for this kind of gathering. And I know that for some of us, that's a really familiar thing, something that we're super comfortable with. I know that for others of us, it might be less familiar and something that we're a lot less comfortable with. We might not really know what's going on there. We might not know what's going to happen and what we should do in those moments. Others of us might have prayed for loads of other people over the years in different environments. And you might have questions like, how do we do this at Gloucester Vineyard Church? Are there any guidelines for praying for people? Still others might be wondering, where does this strange practice come from? Like, why do we even do this? And why do we do it so regularly? And so today I want to kind of finish off our term together by doing my best to kind of do a little bit of a practical and a theological workshop on praying for people, how we do it and why we do it. And my hope is to address a lot of those questions and hopefully bring some clarity into this space. So what I'm going to be doing today is I'm just going to jump straight in with some practical stuff, and we're going to intersperse it with little bits of teaching and little chunks of theology as well. And that's what the chocolate bars are here for. And so Ryan is going to come and help me with this. So do you want to come and stand up here? Give Ryan a round of applause. Just plonk yourself down there. Why don't you? So I'm going to be prodding and poking Ryan and praying for Ryan. I'm so looking forward to this. Don't worry, I have asked his permission and he has said yes. So that's very exciting. But like I say, if you want to come and claim one of these chocolate bars, you're part of today as well. So come and grab one when the moment comes. Okay, the final thing to say before we go any further is a big thank you to Carrie, who is our safeguarding lead, who has given some of her input into what's being said today as our safeguarding lead. So I'm really excited about that we're kind of marrying together some like really exciting spiritual practices of praying for people and kind of our best practice in terms of safeguarding. So how does that sound? Does that sound like fun? Yeah. Excellent. Let's go for it. So let's imagine the scene. We've just done it. We've just been singing. Worship has just finished. Emily's been playing some plinkly plonkly music on the keys. We can sense God's presence in the room. Maybe some of us have got hairs sticking up on the back of our necks. And some of us are already in the receive position, as we like to call it, with your eyes closed and your hands out like that, as if you're about to receive a gift. Ches may stand up and say something into that moment, like, just pop your hands up if you're doing some business with God and you would like somebody to come and pray with you. Pop your hands up. And so Ryan has come in today, and he's got some pretty severe back pain. And so Ryan raises his hand. There it is. Fantastic. And so we've got Ryan and a whole load of other people in the room who have got their hands raised in the air. So my first question is this. Who should go and pray for Ryan? Who should it be? Should it be the pastors? Should it be Em and I, senior pastors, running to just run around the room and pray for everybody frantically? Should it be just the leaders team, just the kind of the people with the lanyards on, just the special ones? Should it be just them? What should we do? Who should go? Let's have a chocolate moment and find out. Who wants to read the first thing? Yes, come quickly. Don't wait to be given permission. Yes, Steve. Steve, he's in. Oh, there's competition. Oh, I literally couldn't, that couldn't have gone better. Okay, go for it. Read the first one, please.
I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. Joel 2:28-29.
Very good. Would you like to select a chocolate? What's it going to be? I'm so curious. What did you take? Twix! Who starts with a Twix? Okay, Ron, whatever you want. Okay, very good. So we read in that little passage, Joel 2:28-29, and it lays out a promise that God made that one day he would pour out the Holy Spirit on all people, that everyone could be filled in the Spirit and be empowered by the Spirit to do amazing things. And we believe that when we pray for people in moments like this, we have no power at all as human beings. We don't have any power to make any kind of supernatural change. Instead, it's the Holy Spirit that moves through us to bring about supernatural change. And so, as we just heard from Joel, we now live in a time when everyone, men, women, rich, poor, young and old, everyone can receive the Spirit and can partner with the Spirit to see amazing things happen. But that's kind of just simple things. That's just headaches, right? What about like really big, scary things like praying for people to be healed, raising people from the dead? Surely those things are just for Jesus, right? We can't do those things, right? Chocolate moment. Who's next? Oh! Someone's going to lose an eye at this rate, honestly. Are you okay over there?
Yeah,
okay, great. Right, would you like to read the second one for us? I think, yeah, there we go. Let me take this one away. Go for number two. Thank you so much.
I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Do you want the passage?
Go for it.
John 14:12-14.
Fantastic. Select a chocolate. Let's find out what it's going to be. Thank you very much. Little drum roll. Okay, the whisper gold is gone, guys. I'm sorry. I feel like I just lost half the room. Someone's like, yeah, if the whisper's gone, I'm no longer interested. So that was a really famous thing that Jesus said. Jesus said in John 14:12-14, when he was equipping his followers, he clearly believed that they would do all of the amazing things that he had done, but apparently they would do even greater things as well. Now, I don't know about you, but personally, my imagination for amazing things kind of runs dry once we get to like walking on water and raising people from the dead. But clearly, Jesus had more things in mind. So clearly, Jesus believes that some of us can do the miracles that he could do as well. And so I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's just the super spiritual people. Maybe it's those of us who draw a paycheck from church. Maybe it's just the people with the little white collars, or with the word pastor next to their name, right? Or the really gifted, powerful ones who can do the stuff, right? Am I right? No, I'm not. We need another chocolate moment. Who's next? Oh, Ben, that was very sedate. Well done. Okay, go for it. Read number three. I'm just going to angle that slightly.
But you are not like that, for you are the chosen people. You are the holy priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into this wonderful light, his wonderful light. 1 Peter 2:9.
Brilliant. That's great. Yeah, fantastic. Choose a chocolate. Drum roll, please. What's it going to be? Oh, the Yorkie's gone. Oh, very good. Well done, Ben. That was a great choice. Okay. So I love that little vision of the kingdom of God in 1 Peter 2:9, the vision of the church of Jesus. I love that description as a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Now, a priest is someone who acts as a go-between between God and humanity. A priest's job is to pray for people. It's to be the person who stands in the gap and prays for the people. And as we read in 1 Peter, we are called to be a kingdom where everyone is a priest, where everyone is a mediator between heaven and earth. Not just a few special people, it's all of us. Young and old, men and women, rich and poor, experienced or inexperienced, who get to lay hands on people and pray for people and see miracles done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And really, this is my main motivation for doing this today. It's to equip all of us to do what we've been asked to do, but to do so in a way that we as leaders, are happy to say is safe and dignifying and respectful. And so, we've consumed a whole load of chocolate, but we haven't done much demonstration. Poor old Ryan is bored, and he's looking forward to the moment when I'm going to start poking and prodding him. It's coming soon. And so Ryan has come in. He's come in with some pretty nasty back pain today, and so he's raised his hands. And so the first thing is that each of us in the room is going to look around the room, and we are all the people who can pray, right? That's what we've just learned. All of us can go and pray. And so Jez has said something like, if you're not doing business with God right now, please look around you. And that means you. That means us. That means all of us. It's an exciting moment where we get to partner with God and maybe see some amazing things happen. And so the first thing we do is look around. And when we look around, we're looking for two things. The first thing is somebody to pray for, and the second thing is somebody to pray with. And so we may look around and see someone who's got their hands up to be prayed for. Great. This is our chance to step in. The next thing we need is somebody to pray with. Now, this is a Gloucester Vineyard Church thing. Please, when we pray for somebody in our contexts, we always pray for people in pairs. Now, this is mainly for the sake of the person we're praying for. We want to be accountable to each other in everything we do, but especially we want to be accountable in moments of increased vulnerability. And we acknowledge that both of the people doing the praying and the people receiving prayer, that's quite a vulnerable moment. And so please, whenever we do lay hands on people, we always do so in pairs. But now we're going to do another very Gloucester Vineyard Church thing. We're going to ask for Ryan's consent. And so really simply, we're just going to say, oh yes, I need Emily, come and join me. You can come and be my prayer partner. Thanks so much. So now there's two of us. We're ready to go, buddied up. High five. Love it. So we're going to do another really Gloucester Vineyard thing. We're going to ask for Ryan's consent. Now really quickly, we're just going to say something like, hi Ryan, do you mind if me and Emily come and pray for you? Great. Now, the likelihood is that Ryan will say something just like that, and that's fine. But there is a chance that actually Ryan might say no thank you to this configuration of people praying for him. Now, we don't know what Ryan has come in with here today. We don't know why he's raised his hand for prayer. He might have a really good reason why he doesn't want us praying for him today. And so we are going to respect that, right? We're going to respect that. We're not going to get offended by that. We're going to be kind and sensitive, and we're going to say something like, okay, that's okay. Can I find somebody else to come and pray for you? And I'm just going to scan around the room and find somebody else to come and pray for Ryan. Just to be really clear, I think it's really unlikely that someone will say no, but when we ask them, it kind of feels kind and dignifying, doesn't it? And it doesn't cost me anything in this vulnerable situation. So the first thing we do is we say, can we pray for you? And let's say, for the sake of argument, Ryan is happy for Emily and I to come and pray for him. The first and most important principle from now on is this. You ready? Keep your eyes open the whole time. Okay? Keep your eyes open the whole time. At no point should you close your eyes, because when your eyes are closed, you can't see anything. Or is that just me? And it's really helpful when praying for people to be able to see what's happening. And so let's have another really quick chocolate moment. And I need two people for this. Steve, you've waited so patiently. Thank you. So Steve, go for it. Why don't you read the next one for us?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. That's Genesis 1, verse 1.
Very good. Select a chocolate. Oh, very good. Deft. We need one more. Darren, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wow. Well done. Well timed.
After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly beloved Son, who brings me great joy."
Brilliant. Thank you, Darren. So, well done, mate. So both of those two passages, for me, really sum up what we think is going on when we pray for people in this way. Firstly, we see it as an act of creation, that the Holy Spirit wants to do what he did in the beginning and what he continues to do in the world, to create and sustain life. So when we pray, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come and create healing and wholeness in a body, to restore a troubled mind to its factory settings, to restore the original design of someone's emotional landscape. But we're also asking the Holy Spirit to come and do what he did for Jesus when he was baptized, to speak incredible words of affirmation and encouragement over people. Now, there's way more to say on the subject, and I will hopefully have time to say more on it later. But for now, this is why we keep our eyes open when we pray. Because when the Holy Spirit shows up to heal someone, to restore someone, to speak deep words of truth direct into someone's guts, we can often see a physical response and a physical impact. And we believe that when the Holy Spirit comes and meets us, as we engage with the force, we're basically engaging with the force that created the universe. We should expect there to be some kind of physical embodiment to that reality. We should expect to see tears, maybe a bit of shaking. Sometimes people kind of double up. They might clench or unclench their jaws or shiver. You might see people physically relax, or they might fall over. I mean, anybody ever seen that happen? Yeah, a handful of times. These things happen, and they are totally normal. The point is, we should keep our eyes open so that we can see and bless what the Holy Spirit is doing. Never shut your eyes. You'll miss out on seeing an amazing thing that God is doing in someone's life. Also, you might need to catch them. And so you need to be ready for that. So eyes open all the time. So everything that happens from now on will be better if my eyes are open. So like, if I'm going to kind of approach Ryan now with my eyes closed, we might just get ourselves into some difficult situations if my eyes are closed. And so just keep your eyes open. But also, if I've got my eyes closed, I can't see what God is already doing when I get here. It might be that Ryan is in the zone. He's in the zone. Look at that. You can tell just by looking at him that he's doing some business there. Do some business there. Some deeper business. More business. Deeper? A little bit deeper? There we go. So as we can see, Ryan is doing some business there. And I'm not sure what's going on there, but clearly Ryan doesn't need any help from me. So I'm just going to keep my eyes open, and I'm going to see what God is doing. And if Ryan is just going for it, I'm probably not going to be praying very much. If anything, I'm just going to pray something like, "Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing," whatever that is. "Please do more of it." Something like that. Very, very simple. Now, in this case, because Ryan is clearly in the zone, I might place a hand on his shoulder without interrupting and just reassure him that he's not alone. But if I do, I'm just going to whisper something like, "I'm just going to pop a hand on your shoulder as I pray for you." Just something very, very simple like that as he's going for it. Now, that would probably be an exception. Generally speaking, we always ask permission to lay hands on people. Now, let's say that I approach Ryan, and he's not really doing business yet, but he's looking so keen. He's in the receive posture, as you can see. I'm going to just ask him, how can I pray for you today? And then I'm going to listen to him. And I've got a good feel for what we're praying for. So I'm just going to say, "Do you mind if I just pop a hand on your shoulder whilst I pray for you?" Yeah, very good. So again, I would say that 90% of the time, people will be absolutely fine with you popping a hand on their shoulder. But it's not unrealistic or strange or wrong that somebody might say, "No, thank you." There could be a million reasons for why that is. We don't need to know what those reasons are. To respect their rights. It's just the fundamentals of consent, right? "May I touch you?" "No? No problem." But why do we even do the whole laying on of hands thing? If physical touch is such a minefield, why do we have to ask for consent every time? Why don't we just do away with the whole laying on of hands thing at all? Why do we do this? Why do we do this at all? I think there's a very simple answer. We have one chocolate bar left. Who's going to have it? Yes, Chloe, come on up. Well done, Chloe. Is that a good one? Is that your one you wanted? I'm so happy for you. Well done.
That's it. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them all. Luke 4, verse 40.
Thank you. Claim your prize. Yes! So, really simply, we learn that when Jesus prayed for When Jesus prayed for healing, when he did miracles of many kinds, we read it again and again and again. It was generally his practice to do so by laying on hands on people. And so it's a practice that we as the church have continued as a tradition for hundreds and thousands of years as the church has existed. And I'm sure there's lots of really good, deep theological reasons why Jesus did it. But for me, as a very simple follower of Jesus, I just want to do what Jesus did in the way that he did it. So personally, that's a good enough answer for me. Now, if that's not a good enough answer for you, that's also okay. I will refer you to Ben from WTC, and you can go and study your hearts out and find your own reasons why we lay on hands. So we lay on hands, but we should not be upset if people ask us not to. Whilst it's certainly our tradition, we see examples of Jesus healing people he can't see from miles away. So there's really nothing magic about laying on hands. It's just a helpful precedent, I think. And so if Ryan says, "No, thank you," that's fine. I can stand like this and pray for him. It's just as effective. And so it might be that It might be that Ryan has pain somewhere in his body. And sometimes we might feel led to lay hands on the area that we're praying on for healing. But should we just use our judgment with that one? I'm sure we can all imagine scenarios where that might be a tad problematic. So in general, I'd say please, when praying for people at Gloucester Vineyard Church, a hand on the shoulder really is gold standard. Now, I don't really, I've been prayed for like this, and like this, and like this, and like this over the years. And so, you know, there's lots of, at Gloucester Vineyard Church, this really is absolutely sufficient. So let's go with that. Now, I don't really like being touched, if I'm honest. I don't really mind. I can get over it for a while whilst someone's praying for me. But generally speaking, I don't particularly like being touched. And so shoulders are a good safe place. It's also worth thinking about distance. When we're praying for people, let's just remember personal space. And, you know, it might be that we've eaten something particularly garlicky for lunch. And if I'm really just getting on in there, and, you know, this is just, no one's enjoying themselves right now. And then Emily comes from the other way. So maybe we don't do that? Yeah, we'll pray for you afterwards. Okay, so, that was very distracting. So let's say that Ryan would like some prayer, and we're coming to pray for him. In the Vineyard, we encourage people to pray using something that we call the five-step prayer model. It's very simple, it's very practical, and it basically relies on two different kinds of listening. Listening to the person and listening to the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we do is we ask, what's up? We ask, how can I pray for you? And we listen to the person. And we really want to be listening to their answer and praying for that thing. Now, it sounds really stupid, but we should be remembering to be primarily praying for the thing that the person has brought. The second thing is that we're listening to the Holy Spirit. Is there something else going on, or is it a pretty simple case of I fell down the stairs and I've hurt my arm? Now, this takes a little bit of subtlety, it takes a little bit of experience. What we don't want to do is to bring our own stuff to the table and impose stuff on the person that we're praying for, but it might be that if we're accustomed to praying for people, if we're accustomed to listening to the Holy Spirit, we might intuit something about how to pray for that person. Now, if we do, it's always worth holding that thing very lightly and with lots of humility. We might be wrong, and my objective here is to bless and serve Ryan, not to complicate things. And so, by and large, if I do sense something as I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to keep it to myself, and I'm just going to let it inform the way that I pray for Ryan. Which leads us to the third step of the model, which is choosing how to pray. Now here, broadly, you've got two choices. The first is to simply ask God for the thing. And if you're not sure what to do, or if this is all very new to you, you might want to simply say, Lord, Ryan has asked for this. We pray that you would do this for him right now. And that's perfectly sufficient. It's worth being really specific and really clear about what we're praying for. It's worth praying with faith. Don't hedge. Don't ask little prayers. Ask the big prayer. Let's ask Jesus for miracles and see what he will do. But the other way we might want to pray, if we feel it's appropriate, and if you're from South Africa, is to command. No one got the South African bit. You will in a minute. So here we take authority, that we take the authority that Jesus gave us, and we follow Jesus' example by speaking directly to the condition or the situation in the name of Jesus and commanding that thing to be changed or healed. We might say something like, in the name of Jesus, I speak to this back and I command you to be healed. Can you see why you might want to be extra South African to pray like this? It's not for everyone, but it is a really powerful way of praying. Let's just remember that if we are going to pray like this, we are taking authority over the condition or the thing that we're praying for. We're not taking authority over the person. And so we're praying for the thing. We're not taking authority over the person. Now, if you sense in step two, as you've been listening to the Holy Spirit, that actually the person we're praying for might be oppressed by some kind of evil spirit, then this is absolutely how you would want to pray for them. Let's say that Ryan tells me that he's been having these dark and oppressive thoughts, that he's been seeing shapes in his mind and hearing voices tell him all sorts of horrible things. It might be that Ryan needs to go to the GP. And I'm absolutely going to suggest that he does so when I've finished praying for him. But it could also be that he's being oppressed by something spiritual, in which case, Ryan needs freedom in the name of Jesus. And that's what we do around here. We pray for freedom in the name of Jesus. And so I'm going to use command prayers in that circumstance to take authority over the evil spirit, just like Jesus did, and cast it out of him in the name of Jesus. If you want to know more about that, I know that's a bit niche, come and have a chat with me afterwards. I'm way friendlier than I look. So I'm very happy to talk about that afterwards if you'd like to know more. The fourth thing we do is we pray. Using all of the information we've gathered, we pray our best prayers. And it's worth saying a few things here. When Jesus prayed his prayers, they were really short. Sometimes only one word. So you can see that he really favored the kind of word of command style of prayer. In reality, most of us find that one word approach pretty awkward. So don't feel bad if you want to add a little bit of wrapping paper and padding. We all do. It's all fine. One of the things that we want to do is be direct. I'm praying for the things that they've asked for prayer the best way we can. What we really do not want to do is take this moment to give Ryan a piece of our minds. We don't want to use this moment when Ryan is at our mercy to share some of our pearls of wisdom. No, no, no. We don't want to use this moment of prayer to give Ryan our best advice for how he can sort his life out. Dear Lord, please remind Ryan that your word suggests about rest. Please remind him that he's been neglecting his Sabbath recently. Please highlight to him that really, if he sorted that out, he wouldn't need prayer here today. Dear Lord, we thank you that your word says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Please give Ryan self-control when it comes to food so that his back pain will go away. So maybe we don't do that. Let's not do that. Let's pray nice, short, to-the-point prayers that avoid giving advice. Yeah? Great. And finally, when we've prayed our best prayers, we ask, how are you doing? Now, this is a bit of a scary moment because we may have just prayed for healing. We might want to know, have you been healed? Has your pain gone away? And when Ryan gives me his answer, we need to be ready for what he says. It might be that the person has been amazingly and miraculously healed. Hooray! It's amazing. It happens in this room all the time. And if it does, we celebrate. Hooray! Now, a quick note that if somebody says they are healed from something that they've been taking medication for, it's really important that that person continues to take their medication until the GP tells them not to. So if that's part of what you've been talking about, it's definitely worth underlining that. But it might be that the person is not healed, or maybe feels a little bit better, but not 100%. Now, in that case, we can offer to pray again, if they would like. There is a story in our Bibles where Jesus prays for someone twice before they are completely healed. So if the person's up for it, we can pray again. We can say, Lord, thank you for what you have done. We ask that you would do more. But the person might say, no thanks, I'm okay. In that case, we stop. Now, so that's the five-step prayer model. Really quickly, it's listen to them, listen to the Holy Spirit, figure out how to pray, and then ask how it went. Now, as I said, there is a chance that the person might get healed. They might be set free from something. God might move and change something or say something really powerful and meaningful in that moment. Or nothing might happen at all. No healing, no breakthrough, no visible or emotional or spiritual change seems apparent. And that is a tricky moment, right? Anybody ever been in that moment? Yeah, either when you're praying for someone or someone's praying for you. It's a tricky moment. And we want to be sensitive in that moment, right? We want to be a church that handles that moment really well, don't we? And so if we pray and there's seemingly no result, I just want to suggest a couple of really simple things that we can do to just help in that moment. So remember, our number one aim is that the person we're praying for feels and knows that God loves them. It can feel really rubbish if we don't get healed. So it's worth saying something to make sure the person feels seen and known and loved. Second thing is, remember that this stuff is mysterious, that our response is always one of humility and obedience. I hear it's really useful to have a decent theology of the coming kingdom of God up our sleeves. And if I had more time today, I would have been unpacking that more. So again, come and talk to me. Go and study with WTC. Both great options. But in short, what we talk about is the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God, which in short means that we see moments of God's future kingdom breaking in with healings and miracles. And sometimes we don't see those things. And we are not in control. We don't get to have any power. We don't have any power to cause miracles happen. God does that. We simply partner with him. So the third thing we want to do is we want to reassure the person that they haven't done anything wrong. We could tell some horror stories in this moment, couldn't we? A few of us could tell some horror stories. Suffice to say that if people don't get healed or don't feel anything, it's important to reassure the person that it's not because they've done anything wrong. It's not because they have some issue of secret sin in their life. It's not because they don't have enough faith. Saying things like that are really unhelpful and they're hurtful. So please don't say them in our contexts. The fourth thing is commit to walk with the person and pray for them in the future. So this is probably, I think, the most loving thing that we can do. To say something like, oh mate, I'm sorry that you weren't healed. I'm going to keep praying for you this week. And actually, I'll pray for you again next week if you're up for it. How about that? Jesus encourages us to keep on asking for the things that we want to see. So if the person isn't healed, it's really kind, I think, to commit to walk that thing out with that person and to pray again. And the fifth thing is a personal thing, which is resolve to pray again. And this is a little one, but an important one. If you've prayed for 20 people and none of them get healed, it can be really easy for us to just give up on the whole idea altogether. To never pray for anyone ever again. Let's just remember that when we pray for people, it's never about us. It's never about the amount of people that I have personally seen healed. It's about the person that I'm praying for. So who cares if I've never seen anybody healed? I want to see people healed. And no matter how many times I don't see people healed, I'm still going to keep praying because it's a loving thing that we can do for others. Can we agree on that? Great. Okay. Deep breath and have some water as well. I'm not used to speaking for so long. Goodness gracious. Okay. So that's basically all that I wanted to say today. I hope that some of that has been helpful. Please give me some feedback if there's anything I missed, anything I could have said better. I would really love to hear from you guys. Can we say thank you to Ryan and give him a round of applause? Yeah. We will pray for you very soon. Okay, so that's basically all that I wanted to say. In a moment, I'm going to do a really quick review of what I've said, and then we're going to have a go. How does that sound? You're like, no, so much pressure now. No, absolutely not. I have two final things I wanted to say, and I couldn't think how else to say them, so I'm just going to chuck them in at this juncture. The first thing is, please don't take prayer hostages. Please don't take prayer hostages. Now, this has happened to me a handful of times recently when someone's been praying for me and I feel like I've finished doing business with God. I'm done now. But the person praying for me won't let me go. They just keep praying for me really slowly. They keep praying things like, Lord, just take as much time as you need. No. Lord, you know, we're going to stay here for as long as it takes. I'm like, bro, I am finished. I'm finished. But I'm also British, so I'm polite. So I don't want to, he's in the moment and I'm finished. I don't want to be rude. And so I've just been taken prayer hostage. I can't close this thing off. And so I just stand there for a lemon until it's like socially acceptable for me to just bring it to a close. And that can take absolutely ages. Can I ask, please, here at Gloucester Vineyard Church, when we pray for people, keep your eyes open, remain sensitive, don't take people hostage, and allow them to call the prayer time to a close when they're ready. How does that sound? Good principle? Excellent. Let's not take prayer hostages. The final thing I want to say, and this I think is really important, is directed at the person who has come to pray for us. So let's say I'm in the receive posture and somebody comes to pray for me. Yes, if we are being prayed for, that's a vulnerable place for me. But it's also a vulnerable place for the person who's coming to pray for me too. It can also be a very vulnerable place for that person. It can cost them to come and pray for me. If somebody comes and prays for me, they've been brave enough to cross the room, to commit to stand with me, to intercede with me, to come and love and serve me. They've postured themselves to serve me, and they should be coming from a place of humility and love. So if that person who comes and prays for me, if they make a little bit of a gaffe, if they forget my name, if they're a little bit clumsy with their words, or they don't quite pray in a way that I think is effective. If they say something which they have absolutely no way of knowing, but it's just a little bit triggering for me. If they pray in such a way that is a bit old-fashioned or a bit naff, or if they say something that's just a bit cheesy, can we remember that that person praying for us has gone out of our way to bless us? 99% of the time, that person will have been a bit clumsy or forgetful or old-fashioned or naff or insensitive completely by accident. So can I ask, that when we are being prayed for as well, we are sensitive and kind and generous and honoring towards the people who are praying for us. How's that? Great. Okay, so in review, and with the time that we have left, which is not much, we are all the prayer team. Whenever we pray as an act of loving service to another. We don't take ourselves too seriously, ever. We pray in prayers. We ask for consent twice. May we pray for you? May I place a hand on your shoulder? We lay hands on shoulders and not on faces. We use the five-step prayer model. We don't get weird or make stuff up if people don't get healed. And we bathe all of this in theology, and we ask questions when we have them. How does that sound? Gloucester Vineyard Church, praying for people guidelines thing. Hooray, we did it. Well done. Give yourself a round of applause. Okay, so in the time that we've got left before the kiddos come back in again, it would be rubbish if we didn't do some practical have a go, wouldn't it? So let's have a go. And so I'm going to invite everybody, if you're able to stand up, because then we're not singling anybody out. And when the kiddos come back in, we are going to invite them to come and pray with us as well. But again, if you don't want that, then again, you have agency. You can say, no, thank you, to the kiddos. That's absolutely fine. Is there anybody in the room today who would really love to be prayed for? So it might be that you have come in today with something that you would like to be healed. Could be some pain in your body or a disease or something physical. Maybe it's something to do with your mind, so your mental health, your emotional state. It might be that you've come in today and you need to hear some encouragement from God. That you've come in discouraged, down in the dumps, and you need to hear a word of love from the Father like Jesus when he was baptized. It could be anything else. If you're dreading this week, if you haven't slept, and it's not just because of the heat and you're tired, if you are particularly feeling depressed today, if you've come in today and you have a food intolerance or something in your gut which doesn't allow you to enjoy food properly, there's a whole grab bag of things to choose from. Would you be brave enough to pop your hand up now? If you'd like to be prayed for. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Excellent, excellent, excellent. You are brave people. We love you. Okay, so if you feel comfortable too, this is what's going to happen next. I'd love to encourage you to just move out to the aisles where we've created a little bit of space. And it's not too late. If you didn't put your hand up, you may still put your hand up. And everybody else, have a look around the room and look at these people who we are going to be praying for. And so what we're going to do is we're literally going to put into practice what we've just learned. So we're going to go over in pairs, we're going to buddy up, we're going to ask consent, can we pray for you? We're going to use the five-step prayer model to find out what we're praying for, and then we're going to go and we're going to get on with it. So, on your marks, get set, go. Go.